The first of two crowded Democratic presidential debates kicks off tomorrow night in Miami. Two nights, 10 candidates each night before five moderators. Here with us now to discuss the upcoming debates and what they mean for the prospects of the candidates is WBUR Democratic political analyst Wilnelia Rivera. Hi, Wilnelia. Good to see you again.
Hello, Bob.
And Republican strategist Rob Gray. Rob, great to see you again, too.
Hi, Bob. Good to be here.
So how important is this event for these candidates? And since it's a Democratic affair, Wilnelia, why don't you start?
I think it's important to remind everyone that it's going to be a long, long season. But I think it's an opportunity for all of the candidates to really distinguish themselves. And for those candidates that really haven't had an opportunity to get the same kind of attention that some of the front runners have. And more importantly, what are the ideas and how are the candidates beginning to coalesce in terms of what a Democratic platform means as we move forward into 2020?
Rob Gray.
I think in the first debate, the lower down candidates have a chance to make a name for themselves. With the front runners, they have to remember, you can't win it in this debate, but you can lose it. You look back to Republican debates recently, Rick Perry knocked himself out of the race in one of these early debates. Marco Rubio, Robot Rubio, being so repetitive, knocked himself out of the race early in one of these debates. So I expect to see a careful strategy from the front runners and the lesser candidates swinging for the fences.
It is June 2019. We're way out from the presidential race, and we've just turned the corner on summer. Is anyone paying attention yet?
Those voters that are in early primary states, I think they are paying attention. If you're in a state like South Carolina or Iowa, I think these debates are actually very critical. I also think that this is about shaping the early field for 2020 as well. We can't have 23 people still running come January 2020.
Because it's June 2019, these candidates, they're narrow casting to Iowa, New Hampshire, California, South Carolina, the early primary states. They're narrow casting to donors who might give them the gas in the tank to be a long-term player in this race. And they're narrow casting to activists to get energy on their side, volunteers on their side.
As we said at the beginning, there are five moderators watching over these debates. If they do their jobs correctly, none of the candidates will be able to speak at length. So if you are down in these early polls, what do you do to make a statement to stand out?
You're going to have probably about 8 minutes total over the 2 hours to say something as a candidate. So you better have a fastball and it better have movement if you're a candidate who's lagging in the polls.
Let me ask about Senator Elizabeth Warren. Due to the luck of the draw, four of the five top Democrats, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Mayor Pete, and Bernie Sanders, will be on the debate stage for the second night. The other top candidate at the moment, according to the poll, Senator Warren, will be on stage with a group of second and third tier candidates. Is this a good or a bad thing for Warren?
If I'm Warren, I like my position. I can get up there and make broad policy statements. Perhaps I can even inject myself into the second night of the debate if I offer some type of policy challenge. And I'm in a position where I'm probably not going to get attacked. So I think Warren likes where she is.
Do you think she'll have a target on her back, though? Or do you think that the first debate will be more cordial, as the campaign between the Democrats has been mostly cordial so far?
Target one is Joe Biden. Joe Biden is leading this race by a long shot.
I think all of the front runners, including Senator Warren, are going to be more under the scrutiny than other candidates.
And Biden has been getting himself on the campaign trail into a little hot water lately. Last week, it was for reminiscing about working with openly racist politicians back in the day, so to speak, and then refusing to apologize for it. How vulnerable is Biden going into these debates?
There is a conventional logic about what the middle is and what primary voters want and why Biden is the obvious choice. But I think part of why we have so many Democratic candidates running and also the kinds of campaign that some of them are also running is to engage the traditional base of Democrats, but also to engage new people in the process. And part of what this process is for Democrats is building a consensus for what our platform is going to be. And some of the gaffes or missteps, let's say, that Biden's campaign has taken are also a reflection of what his actual platform is. And if they're out of step with some core constituency of the Democratic coalition, we have a few months to figure out what that means. And it begins with this first debate.
4 years ago, Jeb Bush was the consensus Republican establishment choice and front runner. Obviously, he didn't win that. I think Joe Biden is the same thing on the Democratic side now. He's the middle of the road, establishment donor base choice.
Rob, what do you make of President Trump's plans to try and steal the show, so to speak? Politico has reported that President Trump's political team is planning to dominate the news cycle during the Democratic debates by releasing carefully timed tidbits to the media with hopes that Democrats on the debate stage will have to respond to the president instead of laying out their own visions.
I think all these Democratic candidates are hoping to draw the hardest punch, the biggest insult from Trump. They're going to turn that into attention and money from the activist base of Democrats and Democratic primary voters, which is what they're looking for. They're not worried about the general election right now. They're worried about winning New Hampshire, winning Iowa, winning California, winning South Carolina and Nevada.
We can't make it all about Trump. I think it depends on how we talk about it in terms of the issues, whether we're talking about the border, we're talking about foreign policy, gun violence. Yes, let's distinguish ourselves in those issues. But to go tit for tat, I don't see how Democrats benefit from that.
All right. Finally, let me ask about someone not on stage. Presidential candidate, Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, who didn't make the cut. He didn't meet the criteria. He's downplayed not making the debates. But how damaging is it to his campaign, Will Nellie?
You know, I think it's going to be hard for a lot of candidates, including Congressman Moulton, coming out of the first debate, if you didn't make the criteria then, to really sort of build the momentum outside of the debate stage to qualify for the second.
I think we'll see some flaking off of candidates. You can argue that Moulton is already there.
Thanks to both of you for coming in and talking about this. Republican strategist Rob Gray, thanks.
Thank you.
Same to you, WBUR Democratic political analyst Will Nellie Rivera.
Thank you.